Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Once again today, we're going to be talking about the effect of Avail and Jumpstart on phosphorus response in corn and wheat in the state of Kansas. To begin here, volatile prices of phosphorus fertilizer in the past 2 years have created a lot of interest from producers to enhance the efficiency of the fertilizer products they apply to their fields. The industry has met this demand by introducing two widely advertised products, Avail, which is a water-soluble polymer that coats the fertilizer granule, preventing reactions with calcium and magnesium, and Jumpstart, a seed inoculum, a Penicillium balai fungus that produces an organic acid, which is meant to dissolve precipitated forms of phosphorus. The particular objectives of this study were to first test the current fertilizer recommendations at low soil test P levels, and secondly, to test these widely marketed products at these low soil tests on both corn and wheat. For this particular study, we selected locations that had a Malic 3 soil test below 20 milligrams per kilogram. Currently, this is the critical level in the state of Kansas, so we would have expected a response at these sites. Treatments had P rates ranging from 0 to 19.5 kilograms per hectare of P. All the sites had had the addition with and without Avail, and most of the sites had or with and without the Jumpstart seed inoculant. Our plots were 46.5 meters squared, arranged in a randomized complete block design, replicated 3 to 4 times per location, and the data was analyzed using SAS version 9.1 approximate mixed procedure, and our means were separated at an alpha level of 0.1. So to start with the corn trials in 2008 and 2009, in 2008, we had three different sites, Manhattan, Rossville, and Scandia. We had nice low soil test P levels, would have expected a response there. But in 2009, we decided to go ahead and add the Ottawa and Silver Lake location, get a little bit more data. Once again, we had a nice range in soil test P levels that were below the critical level. And with this study, all the fertilizer was broadcast prior to planting. The sites were planted to commercially available hybrids. In 2008, all locations were planted to the same corn hybrid, and in 2009, we had a different hybrid at each location. And the populations were appropriate to the soils and cropping systems. Here's a nice map of the trial locations. The red stars indicate a 2008 location, and the black cross indicates a 2009 location. We're up here in north central at Scandia, northeast Manhattan, Rossville, and Silver Lake, and here in the east central part of Kansas is the Ottawa location. All very productive dry land and irrigated corn sites. So look at some results on both ear leaf and yield. At the Rossville location, average over both years, we don't see a particularly good response here to either ear leaf P or to grain yield. There's no significant differences here. The same goes for both the Ottawa and Silver Lake location, as far as no significant response to ear leaf P at Ottawa, and no response to no response at yield time. In Silver Lake, we did see a nice response to P at ear leaf sampling, but it just didn't shake out when it come to harvest. When we looked at the products at these locations, we saw no differences between the products at either ear leaf sampling or at harvest time at all three locations. Now you may be asking, I just showed a slide of great P-responsive sites. Where's the P-response? And that's definitely a story of the weather we've had over the past 2 years. With this slide, I'd like to show you that we've had cooler than normal growing conditions both years, with above average rainfall. The northeast area would be the Manhattan and Rossville Silver Lake locations. North Central would be Scandia, and East Central would be the Ottawa location. And I've these are the means and temperatures and the departures, and as you can see, we've had great rainfall over the past 2 years. However, there were a couple of sites that showed some interesting results. We'll talk about the Manhattan location. Average over both years, we saw a nice response to phosphorus at the ear leaf sampling, but when it comes to yield, we had no significant differences. The unusual things happen here with the products. At ear leaf sampling, we saw a significant response to the use of Jumpstart, but when it comes to yield at Manhattan, that Jumpstart difference went away, and we had a response to Avail at yield time. But I don't know what this means, because we had no phosphorus response at this location. Kind of the nicer location, far as research is concerned, was this great response to P at Scandia. In the ear leaves, we had a nice trend developed, but no significant differences, but it really showed up at harvest time. And at this P responsive site, we had no response to either product. We performed some wheat trials from 2008 to 2009. Johnson, McPherson, and Randolph. Once again, we had a nice range in P levels. We had a nice range in pH levels, so some very different soil conditions for these studies. And as with the corn, the fertilizer was broadcast prior to planting. The varieties and seeding rates were appropriate to the location and cropping system used. And it is important to note that the P rates we used at the Randolph location were well below what a recommended soil test would recommend. Looking at the map of these trial locations, we can see we have a nice spread across the state of Kansas, so we'd expect a nice range in growing conditions and yield levels. When we look at the results for the wheat, we see a nice responses to P at Randolph and at the flag leaf sampling, and at the yield, almost half a megagram per hectare in yield response. At the Johnson location, we did not see significant responses to P at either ear leaf sampling or at harvest, and at McPherson we had a nice response to P at harvest. When we look at products, once again, we have no response to either product at Randolph, and then the same goes for McPherson. We had no response to Avail, and once again, with the wheat trials, we had no response to either product while the locations responded to phosphorus fertilizer. Let's kind of wrap up on the corn then. In 2008 and 2009, we saw excellent corn yields. With the exception of the Ottawa location due to some stand establishment problems. Despite having many locations with a responsive soil test p-value, only one site responded to p fertilization at yield time, and no response to either product was seen at that location that responded to p fertilizer. And to sum up on the wheat, we did observe a range in yields in 2009. We had a great P response at McPherson and Randolph. And once again, with these P responsive locations, we did not see a response to either product. So I'd like to thank at this time my major professor, Dr. Dave Mingle, my fellow graduate students, Jason, Josh, Drew, and Holly, and the station managers, Dr. Barney Gordon, Dr. Larry Maddox, and Dr. Keith Jansen, for their assistance in helping me conduct this research. They kept my plots free of weeds, which was very nice. And I'd like to thank Novozyme and SimPlot for some financial support in this project. So at this time, I'd like to entertain any questions.
We have about 5 minutes for questions.
In the back.
In your wheat study, you had that one site that had a pH over 7.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have occasion to measure your calcium carbonate equivalent in that site,
I don't believe we have that analysis, but we probably have the sample. We could look, but I don't have that information.
On the sampling at the flag leaf stage, the whole plant or the flag leaf?
The question was sampling at the flag leaf stage. Was it a whole plant sample or just a flag leaf? We sampled, we pulled 30 flag leaves from each plot to sample. Yes?
Did you test for the interactions between fertilizer application rate in response to the treatment of the avail and the jumpstart?
The question was, did we check for an interaction between the product and the rate of fertilizer? Yes, we did, and I did not include that data because there was no significance between a rate and product response. Yes?
You mentioned the mode of action of the two products. Do you know of any research to support that mode of action, or is that simply stated as advertised?
The question was about the mode of actions of the products. Is there any research to back this up, display the claims of the products? There is quite a bit of research on the jump start, and there I'm not aware of any with the Avail, but I would believe that they would work great in a laboratory setting where you have very controlled environments, but when you take it to the field, there's so many other factors that can cloud out these modes of action, if you will.
Of
what now?
Do you know of any laboratory research to support that? You said in the lab you think it would work. In the field, a lot of things affect you, which I agree with.
I personally don't have any laboratory data, but there has been some work with the Jumpstart, I believe, but I'm not aware of any with the Avail.
Additional questions? What soil test method were you showing there for phosphorus?
The question was about the soil test procedure. We were using a Malic 3 extraction.
Got a question. You stated that the application rates of phosphorus that you put out were much lower than what would be recommended to a producer.
Mm-hmm.
So why did you choose to those application rates you chose?
The question was about the application rates being below what would be recommended. When we started this research, we wanted to prevent creating some phosphorus hotspots, if you will. Yeah, being that we were on research farms, we didn't want to create problems for future researchers.
Do you think the mean separation methods you used are appropriate for your data?
The question was about separating means with an alpha level of 0.1, is that right?
LSD.
Oh, LSD. Do I think it's appropriate to use LSD to separate means with this data? I would say yes. With this field research, things are not very, precision is not very, it's not very precise research, so you want to kind of give a fair shake to the data, I guess, to see results. To see if you actually have a difference.
All right, with that, let's give our speaker a hand.